Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Today on Getting Real with the Housewives, Teddy Mellencamp reveals if she would ever return to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But I mean, it was a big part of my life for a long time, but I'm happier without it. But of course you miss things.
Plus, Gandy Purse reveals why season 14 of Atlanta may be the best one yet.
When I tell you, no diss to them, this season is going to be way better than the last I would say.
And comedian and Bravo celebrity impressionist and narrator of the audiobook Not All Diamonds and Rosé, Amy Phillips helps us break down this week's episodes. We've got that plus so much more on today's Getting Real with the Housewives. Hey guys, Christina Garibaldi here with Us Weekly executive producer Mandy DeCamp, and welcome to Getting Real with the Housewives. Mandy, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited for our guest today.
We are so excited. We are joined by Amy Phillips. She is a Bravo celebrity impressionist, comedian, narrator of the audiobook Not All Diamonds and Rosé. Amy, we are so excited to have you with us today.
Well, I am totally thrilled. I mean, I've been watching you forever. I mean, I always get scoops from you. So to be here is very surreal. So I'm very excited. Thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. Before we talk about the book, your book, your radio show, I wanted everybody to see one of your fabulous impressions of Teresa Giudice while you were recording David Quinn's hit book. So everybody take a look at this.
Melania, I'm recording. When my family came on to the show, I didn't even know they were coming on. I was talking to Kathy, Melissa, and my brother the whole time I was filming, telling them everything that was going on the show. Meanwhile, they were interviewing behind my back. And when I found out, that was so hurtful. You know what? I'm getting mad all over again. I gotta stop reading this, all right? Buy the audiobook of Not All Diamonds and Rosé now.
I mean, I love it. Genius.
It's so good. How do you kind of get started? Like, how does one get started doing impersonations of housewives?
That is such a great question. You know, I am a theatrically trained, classically trained actor. So it begins there.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. I just have always been like I've always been a mimic, you know, ever since I was in middle school. And I would always do like Liza Minnelli and, you know, Joan Rivers. And I would just do a ton of SNL characters. But fast forward to a time in my life where I turned on Bravo and I saw the Rachel Zoe Project, which was my gateway drug into the Real Housewives. I started doing Rachel Zoe is like bananas. And then all of a sudden I turned into like Ramona Singer. So from Ramona Singer, that's where it all started. And I just have not stopped ever since. Andy Cohen and the whole team at Watch Happens Live would see my impressions on YouTube and they were like, you know, they would feature them on their show.
Yeah.
So then it ended up where they were like, do more. So I've always had a wonderful relationship with them and they've always been so supportive of my impressions and the videos. So they show them on their show. And I just was like, I won't stop until there are no more voices and wigs left.
Awesome. I love it.
I mean, you're so good at it. Do you have a one favorite housewife?
It changes a lot, but lately I would say it would be Erik and Jane, allegedly, because of the content she brought last season. And of course, you know, the snowing in Pasadena, we can't get away from. So I love doing her.
I love it. What do the housewives think of your impressions? Have you done? I know you've done a couple in front of them. So what do they think?
Yeah, they are very supportive. Some, you know, if I don't hear anything, that means they probably don't like it. So if I don't hear anything from them, they're probably like, And that's fine. But for the most part, they really enjoy it. Some have asked me, like Marisol Patton from Miami is like, where's my impression of me? Where is it? You know, she wants an impression done of her. So I kind of appreciate that sometimes they request an impression.
I love that.
You know, we're huge fans of the book here. Not All Diamonds Are Rose. When you were reading it, was there a part that was just super shocking for you as a fan?
Actually, yes, there were a few parts, but I will say the Orange County, the first chapter, I think was so eye-opening just by the way they had to go through the whole narrative and tell the story about how Real Housewives even began. But as you get further in the chapter, you realize, oh, Tamra Judge was a game changer. That was shocking to me. I'm like, I knew that Tamra was an amazing housewife, but I didn't realize that she was held in such high regard across, you know, in comparison, that she really changed the game. Because when she came in, she has an opinion. Yes. And she's always passed and she's always has an opinion. And because she has an opinion on other housewives and she stirred it up, I mean, that really changed the game for housewives. So I was pretty shocked, and it was like, oh, a light bulb moment. That does make sense.
You do like all the, you know, the narration for this book. What was the most challenging housewife to kind of get the impersonation of?
Jill Zarin was, you know, I didn't do any necessarily new impressions with the exception of a couple characters like Kim D and Kim G, which I never really did before. So I just popped those in. But Jill Zarin was difficult. I really worked hard on trying to get her voice down before I did this book because I realized I never had an impression of Jill Zarin. And I started doing like Ramona and Luann and Bethany and Sonia. And then, you know, Jill was off the show. So I just never really went back and worked on an impression of her. And every time I would meet her or see her, she's like, where's my impression? Where's my impression of me? Where is it? I'm hurt. You know what? I'm really hurt. So I would be like, I don't know. So finally, this was my opportunity. So I just worked so hard to get her down. And it was, and I finally did it. I think I messaged her like, what did you think? And she's like, I love it. And I'm like, that's it. Like I spent 75 hours. Like,
that's such a Jill reaction, though.
It's totally the Jill. It's exactly, you're right. Yeah. But I'm so glad that I got to do her because she really is a lot of the narration in the New York chapter.
Yeah. So funny.
Yeah. That's a good one, though. I like it. You nailed it. So.
Well, you just have to get down to Alex McCord. You know what I mean? Like, you just got to go there.
I love that so much. And then, like, in addition to the book, you also released your own Housewives parody cookbook and you have a radio show. So you are so busy.
Yeah.
So tell
I'm busy, but we want to be busy during the pandemic. It's a blessing. You know what I mean? Like, and of course my Real Housewives parody cookbook is something that I feel like was needed for a long time. It's basically turning housewives and housewives moments into food dishes inspired by the housewives. I co-authored it with Chef Stuart O'Keefe. So it's a really fun book. Yeah. I was busy with that for a while.
I love Stuart O'Keefe. I've worked with him before in the food world. Yeah. Yeah. I love him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, it was his idea to do this book. And I was so grateful he took me along with him on the ride. We had a really good time.
That's awesome. It's a great concept. I'm jealous I didn't think of it myself.
Me too. Well, I guess I'm like, well, thanks for thinking of it. Thanks for bringing me along.
I love that so much. All right. Well, before we get into this week's news, we have to check in and see what all of our viewers had to say about last week's show. So Mandy, what was everybody talking about?
Yeah. So Michelle wrote in and said, Teresa is not a good judge of character. I assume she means, you know, her choice of fiance perhaps at this moment. We'll get into more Louis stuff. But Amy, do you have any initial thoughts on Louis?
I really want Teresa to be happy. I was so elated when I found out that she found somebody and it was, you know, a pretty quick romance and she's falling in love. I love seeing Teresa in love. I love seeing her being this lioness and protecting her love bubble. But I do find when he did the warrior video, I was like, all right, well, I went to acting school. I've done some weird things, you know, but at the end of the day, I found it so questionable that he's telling a story that it's a breakup video when in fact it's a proposal video. Yeah. So I definitely see that as a red flag. I'm concerned. I want her to be happy, but I'm concerned.
Yeah.
We're very concerned.
Very concerned.
I mean, you've gone to acting school, but do you have a warrior video floating around the internet?
I think if I had, even if it went up, no one would care. But no, I don't.
You're a housewife.
I love it. Next one goes to Teresa, says that she is not missing Mary. I mean, I think I'm missing Mary from this reunion. Yeah. We'll talk more about it coming up. But like, that's a big puzzle piece that's missing right now.
Huge. I mean, they called her the elephant in the room in this week's episode. So, I mean, it's beyond. We need Mary, guys. We need.
I agree. We totally need Mary. And it feels like there's something missing other than than Jen not talking about what's going on in her life. The biggest thing is Mary missing.
Yeah. Totally. All right. Well, everybody, let us know in the comments, are you missing Mary at the reunion or not? But right now, let's get into the Housewives news of the week. And Kanye West is, filtering over into the Housewives world yet again, because he sparked speculation that he is on better terms with Larsa Pippen after he showed his support for Kim Kardashian's former friend. And fans, including us, have a lot of questions. Now, people spotted on social media that he liked InTouch's Instagram post about Larsa. Now, it featured the Real Housewives of Miami star alongside her friend in response to rumors that she got a Brazilian butt lift. So she said during the reunion, "I literally work out 7 days a week. If I show you my photos from 5 years ago, I was less than 100 pounds. I'm 140 pounds now. So yeah, my legs look thicker than they were. My arms look thicker than they were. My whole body has changed. My body's tight because I work out." Now, his support comes after Larsa previously made headlines accusing him of being the reason why her friendship with Kim Kardashian ended. A lot to unravel here, but
layers.
Yeah, layers, lots of layers. It seems like Kanye is extending an olive branch to Larsa. I don't really know.
And who wants that olive branch right now? Not the person you want to align with. Larsa's like, thanks, but no thanks. This would have been helpful at the beginning of the season, but like not now. I mean, I think her best move at this point would be to just like date Pete Davidson, and maybe just clear the decks, just set things back to neutral.
Exactly. Yeah. My biggest takeaway from this is that Kanye West reads Instagram and InTouch. I mean, that's
exciting. I have to do that too.
I was like, that's amazing. He's actually reading everything we're doing. Maybe he's watching our show right now, you guys.
Right. Thanks, Kanye.
I want some Yeezys.
Right? I mean, what do we believe Larsa when she says that she hasn't gotten any work done on her behind?
I think she might be working out to either Kenya's workout video or Phaedra's. Remember they had those two workout video, like that feud between them a long time ago.
Yeah.
And was it Phaedra's like donkey booty or something like that? And then Kenya's was stallion booty. I mean, it's got to be one or the other. And I just want her to tell us which one so we can all know which DVD to buy.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't download it.
That booty.
Seriously.
I don't know. I don't think she's had work done. I mean, 100 pounds on 140 pounds, that's drastic.
Yeah.
That's like, your body's going to look way different. That's not, nothing. So, I mean, she looks great. Mm-hmm. I think she looks better. So, good for her.
Well, she posted those receipts. She had a picture of herself and like we got to see it from behind and it looked good then and it looks good now. So, maybe I'll start, following her on OnlyFans. I don't know.
Maybe.
She's
making a lot of money.
All right. So Jackie Goldschneider gave an update on how she's feeling after she revealed that she's been battling an eating disorder this season on the show. While on Watch What Happens Live, Andy said, "I'm finding your sharing and there's so much more to come. And it's very moving and it's very informative, but I'm finding your openness about your eating disorder to be just really engaging and bravo of you to do. How is that process going for you and healing yourself?" And she responded, "It's intense and it's ongoing and it's not easy, but I'm the healthiest that I've ever been." We've been following this on our show, of course, this eating disorder that she's been very open about. I kept saying I was just so shocked. I feel like once you're at that stage in your life, you're more comfortable in your own skin, but clearly she wasn't. And that's super sad. So what do you think about this? Have you been watching this unravel this season?
Yeah, I think it is so brave. I think it is such an amazing storyline. I mean, we call it a storyline, but it's her life.
Right.
And then she is literally, showing her emotions on her sleeve. And I think this is going to help a lot of people. I really do. And I think it's about time that a housewife has been brave enough to talk about these issues, because I'm sure she's not the only one across franchises that struggles in this area. Yeah. And I think there have been times when, like, we've maybe almost dipped our toe into talking about the eating thing, maybe in Beverly Hills a little bit, but they never went there, you know. Yeah. And it was always disappointing because it was like, well, there are a lot of people watching the show, a lot of female viewers who may have similar struggles and stories. And I think that it can be really enlightening and really supportive. And I hope that she can feel the love from everybody and feel the support so we can see her journey get to a great place.
Definitely. Yeah. I totally agree with you.
I totally agree. It's super, she's giving every detail too, like how she only eats the same meals every day, which is so crazy to me. And I never really thought about that. I just thought, oh, she must, you know, a creature of habit, but no, that could be an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. And then they show her when she was at the Jersey Shore eating the salad, and it's like, wow, you can see her thinking about it, you know?
Yes.
No, it's great that she's being so open. Like you said, that she's probably helping a lot of other people going through the same thing, because a lot of people that are, you know, in their, you know, late 40s, 50s, don't really talk about this ever. We're never really hear about it. So it is good that she is kind of opening up about it. But let's move on to Candyverse, because this is a fun story, because she revealed that multiple housewives actually approached her to put out new music after the success of Kim Zolciak's Don't Be Tardy. However, she admitted that there was a certain New York housewife that surprised Candy the most. She said on Watch What Happens Live, one that would probably be surprised would be Bethany Frankel. She reached out to me to work with her on a song. This was a long time ago. I can't even remember what she was trying to use it for. Candy did say that after after everything that went down with Kim, she kind of stays away from releasing new music with the housewives because there's a lot of drama. But oh, would I have loved to hear a Bethany Frankel track.
Thinking it had to have been called Don't Be Tardy for the Divorce, and it was strictly towards Jason Hoppe because of how long it took. I mean, it had to have been that.
Had to.
Yes. I mean, the thing about Candy, though, is she's like a real musician.
She is.
So I'm like, it would be a good song.
Again, no, that's true. Know. I mean, Don't Be Tardy, still in my head after all these years.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so good.
Oh, my God. I need about
this. Seriously. All right. Well, let's get into this week's episodes of The Real Housewives, kicking it off with part two of the Salt Lake City reunion. And like we mentioned at the top of the show, the elephant in the room, that Mary was not there. She really couldn't answer any of these questions that these ladies had. And it just felt like, you know, that's part of your job, Mary. You got to show up.
Yeah. Show up.
They need to start fining these housewives or withholding their paycheck until they show up, because it shouldn't be an option. I mean, are we surprised? No. I mean, Mary didn't want to be in any scene throughout the season, which I actually found extremely entertaining. And I didn't mind it at all. Like, usually I'm like, no, you must stay. You must fight it out till the end. But I didn't really care that she was like, no, I'm not going to talk about this. I'm going to leave. I just found her so entertaining. There's no one like her. And all the controversy behind her church, I would like for her to have spoken about that on the reunion. And also maybe apologize for a lot of the things that she said and did. And just bring her humor. I think she would have been best dressed. God, we really needed that at that reunion.
Seriously.
Yeah. Do a Mary impression on the spot.
A married man. I wasn't there because my mannequin heads wanted me to stay home.
I love it. Okay. I love it so much.
Yeah. I miss Mary too. I mean, my biggest thing, like the support group of people who have left her church, I want to talk to them. I want to see a little like reunion of those people led by Whitney.
I feel like this is like an episode of Dateline that needs to come out or something like that. Like, this is just like investigative journalism. Like, get on that. Seriously. And then it seemed like, you know, this was a lot of attacking on Lisa this episode. I mean, do you think that a lot of this was justified, especially the Meredith versus Lisa kind of crumbling of their friendship?
Wow. I mean, I famously to whom no one but to myself I famously to myself do not like a gang up. I don't like when a whole gaggle of housewives comes after one person, and they really were not going to let down off of her, so that I did not like. However, what she said about Meredith is probably one of the worst things we've ever heard a housewife do. And I was seriously surprised that she did not realize that she was mic'd, because I thought leading up to the reunion, I actually thought that she was bamboozled by a producer with a mic outside the door or inside and she didn't realize. I thought maybe she turned off her mic. So now we know that she knew it was on, which is shocking to me. But I found it to be a very hitting in one, like they were beating a dead horse at this reunion over and over and over and over again. And I thought, let's share the love. let's get more of Meredith questioning Lisa, and also Meredith walking clumsily off the stage and almost falling in that ice pit. Like, I was so concerned about Meredith falling in that ice hole. I was like, she's gonna eat it. And those feathers are gonna be drenched, and we're not gonna be able to film. It's gonna be terrible.
I felt like I spent most of the reunion looking at that ice pit.
Yeah.
What was that? It wasn't even that pretty.
No, it was a big distraction.
A baby pool. I didn't get it.
Yeah. But I do feel like this is probably the end of their friendship. I don't think that there's any way to go back from this, because
it's
messy.
Yeah.
It is. I agree.
The whole hot mic situation, I think I've said it in the past. I don't believe that it was a hot mic. I think she totally knew she was mic'd, totally knew it was on. These housewives are savvier than we think sometimes, especially Lisa.
Especially Lisa, yeah. And she's a great housewife.
Yeah.
No, totally. Yeah.
But it was totally, a great housewives moment regardless.
All right, let's move on to Real Housewives of New Jersey. This has been, we're just a few episodes in and it's already such a great season. So what do we think? Do you think that Bill should have apologized for Jennifer's behavior, or should he have been sticking up for her? Because he kind of just did nothing at the party. I mean, he does later on when, all the guys are sitting down to dinner. But what do you think? How do you think Bill handled this situation?
I mean, I kind of understand why he walked away. I mean, at this point, we get so mad about husbands getting involved in the housewives drama. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden we're like, why didn't you get involved in the housewives drama? I'm like, well, let's pick which one we're going to deal with. Yeah. However, Jersey is a little different because the men are players in the game. So, and the other sidebar on that is that Jennifer took a shot at Joe Gorga personally. She called him a crook. She called him a little bitch girl. I honestly do feel like at that point, maybe what Joe Gorga is saying is, Bill, tell her to stop talking about me, just like maybe redirect and pivot towards the ladies, but don't get me involved. I think Bill should not, I don't think any of the husbands should get involved necessarily. And I think Jennifer saying like, Bill betrayed me once and now he's doing it again in terms of not sticking up with her. I'm like, all right, let's calm down. That's a little too far.
A little aggressive.
Not the same type of betrayal at all.
Yeah. No.
Definitely not. I mean, yeah, I do. Go ahead, Mandy. Sorry. No.
My only thoughts are, I'm surprised he's on the show so much this season after knowing that the whole cheating story came out. I'm surprised he's not hiding in a closet somewhere, because I would be.
You're right. I was surprised he showed up at this guy's dinner. I mean, just like, hey, guy. I mean, I don't know. He definitely seems like he should be walking down that pier a little more. But God love him for showing up.
Right. I do feel so bad for her kids, though. Like, you can see that they're like really going through it. And, her daughter, Gabby, was kind of breaking down. Like, they didn't ask for this. Like, that's like the most heartbreaking thing about this whole thing is that, these kids have to deal with it. A takeaway that I thought was interesting from this episode was Dolores saying that David talks to everybody in her family besides her. It seems like David is not happy about this, or was not happy about this breakup.
Yeah,
that was so shocking to me. I loved that scene with her parents. That scene was, by the way, that had to have been KFC on that table. I'm convinced. I recognize the coleslaw. I know those biscuits anywhere. And then later she's going to say triple bypass. I'm like, anyway, I love her parents so much. And I was so sad to see them heartbroken that she and David had broken up. And it's weird to me to think like he doesn't have time for her. And yet he's got all this time to spend with the family members. Yeah. Does that make sense to you guys?
No, you're so right.
No, we're missing. I always feel like we're missing pieces to Dolores' story. Mm-hmm. Like, you see this kind of fun picture of her and Frank now and the kids. And she kind of plays this like moderator almost sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's like, what happened with this 5-year relationship? Yeah. What happened?
Yeah, there are a lot of unanswered questions. I feel like maybe she'll softly add them in later, because now I feel like she's telling us what the real truth is about Frank back in the day.
Right. Yeah.
You know, she's like that. And I'm like, well, that sounds terrifying. I mean, sorry, Appletini Frank. I don't like you anymore because I don't like what happened back then. So I feel like we're not going to know what happened with David until 10 years
from now. Right, exactly.
I was so upset about Frank this week. I was too.
Don't like him anymore.
And then finally, let's talk about OC. I feel like not too much is happening on OC. I just, right? Like, am I the only one? It's a little like compared to what, you know, Salt Lake City brought this year, to even Beverly Hills and, you know, Jersey right now. It just feels like OC is just kind of chugging along.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny to me. They had a montage of like Heather Dubrow and Gina Kirchenheider in New York. And then she's like, let's have carbs. And Gina's like, I love being with you, Heather. And it's like, it was this montage that there was only one scene in the montage is different. You know, I'm like, is this really like a friendship bonding moment? I don't know. But that was like the most we got. I will say the best part, I mean, obviously was the awkward dinner party. And everything from the amuse-bouche not being listed at the top of the menu. I'm like, this is why Fancy Pants is bad. This is why I love her. I want more about menus that are botched, no pun. And I also want to know more about how you own your own cargo ship. You know, I mean, those are the things that I have signed up for with her. But other than that, the Noella fire is just burned so bright. She's like a housewife on steroids. And I just can't. And then now that that's sort of dissolving away, I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, because what are we talking about now?
Yeah, no, you're so right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, I loved the 2 second New York montage too. holding hands on this street corner and then holding hands on that street corner. but I will say, I want more of Heather's mom. I
feel Heather's mom. Yes.
Yes.
Oh my God. I love the drink orders.
Amazing. It's so funny. I feel like hopefully, you know, as the season goes on, maybe we'll get a little bit more based on the trailer or based on the next week's episode, Gina and Shannon finally go at it. We've missed a little bit of a Storm's Bedore moment. Right. So,
yes.
You know, hopefully we'll get that, but I don't know. I just feel like, I mean, they've said from the beginning that this is a transitional season for OC, and it definitely is. But I still feel like we're working out the kinks.
Yeah. We are. I mean, I do love a Shannon Bedore crackpot dinner. I love it. I mean, that I can't ignore. I mean, I do love that and her dog in the pool.
Yeah. Yes. Moment. Love her dog in the pool.
Love the dog in the pool. All right. Well, let's move on to our real talk. And this week we caught up with Candy Burris, who teased that this upcoming season of Real Housewives of Atlanta is better than ever, despite losing Cynthia Bailey and Portia Williams. Take a look.
Like you said, you and Marlo kind of go at it this season. What was your reaction when you found out that she was finally getting her peach?
I was happy. That's the crazy thing. I was the main one saying that Marlo should get a peach. I kept telling everybody that. And so when she got her peach, I was excited for her. I was not expecting for me and her to bump heads. That was the last thing I was expecting.
I know you can't tell me exactly like what happened and things like that, but would you say that this may be one of the biggest conflicts that you've had over the course of your
season? Well, you know, if you can roll back to when she first came on the show, was that like season 4 or somewhere around there? She and I bumped heads then. So it was similar to that, but a little worse.
And then, you know, how was the dynamic different this season without Cynthia and Portia?
That's another thing. Okay. So when we got ready to start the season, I was a little nervous because I'm like, okay, we're losing two peaches that are very important to the franchise or whatever. I'm like, how's that going to go? But when I tell you, no diss to them, this season is going to be way better than the last few, I would say. It's a really, really good season. And I'm excited for people to watch.
Definitely. What was your reaction when Cynthia and Portia both announced that they were leaving the show?
I was disappointed. You know, I was disappointed because I was just thinking that, you know, that we would all, you know, be able to rock another season together. But, you know, everybody has to do what's best for them. You know, Portia's, you know, moving on in her life, and she had her own show. So she was doing her thing. And then Cynthia. Now Cynthia's doing so much. She got movies coming out. She's, yeah, you know, doing her thing. Just got off of Celebrity Big Brother. So they both are doing a lot. And so I'm happy for them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I was a little disappointed at first, but I feel like everything happens for a reason, because it really allowed for this new season to totally change and bring on new players and make the show different than it's been in a while. And we needed that, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you guys excited for this upcoming season of Atlanta?
Absolutely. I've been trying to, I follow all the ladies. I've been trying to figure out where they are. What are they doing? Mm-hmm. It was at the finale party. And Candy is just a machine of giving. She just gives so much. And of course, Old Lady Gang, I know we're not talking about that, but I love the new show.
Great.
And so, yes, I'm so excited about it coming back. I will miss Cynthia Bailey, although we did get our fill of her on Celebrity Big Brother. So I feel okay. Yeah. And Ultimate Girls Trip. So I feel okay because we got our Cynthia Bailey fix. But I will miss her in the upcoming Atlanta for sure.
Definitely.
Definitely. Well, we also spoke with Teddy Mellencamp this week, who talked about whether or not she'd return to the Beverly Hills Housewives. So I want to get your opinion on that, but let's hear what she had to say first.
I mean, you did make some appearances on last season of the show. Will we see you back on Beverly Hills at all this season?
There's one episode where I'm working for Extra and I'm covering an event that the Housewives are at. Mm-hmm. But in regards to filming and scene, I doing a drop in like that is not something I'm interested in doing.
Yeah. Do you miss it at all?
You know, there are times. I mean, the good news is the women that I'm friends with, I still see and talk to all the time. So that's not missing. But I mean, it was a big part of my life for a long time, but I'm happier without it.
Yeah.
But of course you miss things. It's like that boyfriend that, you know, didn't treat you the best, but you still think about him from time to time.
Exactly. I know that like there was conversations about coming back as a friend role. Did you ever want to do that? Or is that something that's just not for you now?
No.
All right, so what do you guys want? Do you want Teddy back or not?
I like Teddy. She's even said it herself. She's like, you either love me or hate me. There's no in between. I like Teddy. I think that she has an opinion. She's got a side, and that's what, you know, we can't have housewives wavering. She's mm-hmm. going to pick a side. She's going to stick to it. Mm-hmm. She also tries to play it. She tries to play the loyalty card. You know, I think that's what she always wants to do. She wants to come in with truth and play things the right way. And if she screws up, she does admit it and she apologizes. And that's what we want out of a housewife. I think that if she was brought in, she would probably be on the Rinna, Erica, Jane side of things, because it seems like she would, she was there last season.
Right.
But I feel like she could ask some tough questions sometimes when needed. So I would be fine with her coming back.
Yeah.
You may have just convinced me.
I know, me too. I was like, I don't know. But now I'm like, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I feel like Teddy is like the most improved player in the Housewives. Like, I feel like in the beginning, she was kind of boring, kind of wrote the tales of her dad a little bit. But yeah, I think the last season she was on, she wasn't afraid to ask the harder questions, to say, you know, what she wanted to say and stand up for herself. So maybe you're right. Maybe I want to see Teddy.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I've been known to be wrong too. So famously.
All right.
To no one.
Well, let's get to our social spotlight of the week, where we discuss which housewife caught our attention on social media. So Amy, who caught your attention on social media this week?
Well, I love a Vicki Gunvalson post, and I always go for the content, but I stay for the hashtags. And she has a picture of her and her sister, who I didn't know also worked in insurance. And you know, Vicki, I'm sure, got her into it. But she basically said that she was she gets to see her sister on these, they're in the same industry, and then she gets to see her sister at these conferences. And of course, she says in her hashtags, hashtag 13 butts apart, hashtag advisors, hashtag insurance, hashtag retirement planning, hashtag fiduciaries, hashtag family, hashtag legacy planning, at Coto Insurance.
I love it so much.
A lot of hashtags.
Oh, I love it.
Mandy, how about you?
How are they only 13 months apart?
I know. Yeah. That's
That doesn't seem right.
Right.
Interesting.
I need to do the Phaedra math, yeah, you know, right. Like that.
Mine goes to Real Housewives super fan Justin Anderson. I don't know if you're familiar with him at all. He's like Kristen Cavallari's best friend. He lives in Nashville, loves the Housewives. He's so funny on Instagram.
Yes.
So he posted a kind of TikTok of himself saying, me waiting for someone to bring up the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City reunion. Because, I mean, don't we all just want to talk about that all yes. day? But his caption was interesting. He said, why are we all just giggling at Jen Shaw's jokes and outfit choices when we dragged Erica Jane through the coals for an entire season of Beverly Hills? And then just how are you guys feeling so far? Team Lisa, Team Meredith. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. I feel like it is very true. We are kind of not talking about Jen Shaw as legal issues. I know we're going to get to it, but what do you think? Should we
I feel like there were so many other storylines that were happening on Salt Lake City that like you couldn't really hone in exactly on Jen. Meanwhile, with Beverly Hills, it was just Erica Jane all the time. I feel like there was nothing else for us to really talk about, but like at least with Salt Lake City, you have Mary, you have Lisa versus Meredith. So there was a lot of other things kind of going on that you almost at times kind of forgot about it.
Maybe
they're like tired of doing the thing that they did with Erica. They're like, well, you know, allegations, old, you know, that's old news. It's just a matter of time. I was like, when Andy said, let's talk about the elephant in the room, I'm like, okay, we're going to get into the Jen Shaw stuff. He's like, Mary. I'm like, it's not even here. So it is so funny to me because we really came out of the gates in Beverly Hills reunion where all the questions were asked already straight away with Erica. Then we kind of segued out of it. Then we segued back in. And with this, Jen Shaw is just with the feathers, just lovely, just sitting there enjoying and telling Lisa how to apologize. So it is so bizarre to me, and points to Lisa for never being like, you guys are talking about me. What about Jen Shaw? Like, why does she never play that card? Right. I would have.
I would
like,
totally.
Can we stop talking about me? She literally has allegations and charges against her. Why are we talking about me in this hot mic?
No, that's so true. She can go to jail for 30 years, but we're still talking about Lisa Marlowe. So crazy. Mine real quickly was from Watch What Happens Live. Emily Simpson was on talking about how much she loves Khloe Kardashian. So Khloe commented on the post saying that she's going to send her some good American jeans and loves her just as much as well. So I love that Khloe is a fan of OC.
That's amazing.
I love it. Well, Amy, thank you so much for helping us break down all things Housewives. This was an absolute pleasure having you here today.
Thank you. I had so much fun. Thank you guys both.
Definitely. And make sure to pick up listen to the audiobook of Not All Diamonds and Rosé that Amy narrates. Also make sure to get her cookbook, Cook It, Spill It, Throw It. It is available right now, and listen to her on Radio Andy Sirius XM, her radio show Reality Checked. Amy, again, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And make sure everybody keep commenting, keep subscribing, and we will see you guys for Getting Real with the Housewives next week. Bye.